TCL is a proud sponsor of the Score North Studios. Enjoy more of the things you love with TCL. These two guys have Minnesota sports flowing in their veins. Mackie and Judd on Score North and scorenorth.com.
Or in the case of Thursdays, it would be Chip Scoggins, Star Tribune sports columnist, and Zolgad, Conduits of Trouble is the show. And Chip Scoggins, so you had the pleasure of taking in Vikings-Texans, Bill O'Brien's last game as GM, coach, and play caller of the Texans. Take me through what that experience was like of watching a team actively try to get its coach fired, and congratulations, succeeding.
It felt like, Judd, the Green Bay game with Chili to me, mm-hmm. where it's like the point of no return, right? And it's funny, my college roommate lives in Houston. I saw him on Saturday, and after the game, I texted him. I said, I think they're going to fire that guy. I said, I would fire him. He's like, I don't know if they can. He's GM and all that. But it just felt like the point of no return, didn't it? I mean, the way the body language was, the quarterback, who's the franchise quarterback, looked just completely lost. Yep. I tweeted during the game, and other people too. It's like, what the hell has happened to Deshaun Watson? You know?
I think he looked miserable, Chip. Like, I think he's fine. I just think that they had become so dysfunctional that he looked like they were, for lack of a better term, ruining him, which was a shame to watch.
Yeah, because there were throws that looked like they should have been routine throws. And the other part of it is, like, why would he run more? You know, there were times where he looked like he could tuck it and run and get a first down, but he looked like he had no clue what to do. And so, you know, I assume there's some kind of issue going on with him and the coach. But it just felt like, go back to whatever year that was when Childress got fired, the Green Bay game, where it just felt like this is not sustainable, right? There's going to be a change coming. You can just feel it, body language, you know, what little fans they had in there. I think they had 13,000. They're booing. They booed him like four different times. And, you know, obviously it's harder when the coach is the GM, which should never happen in pro sports anymore, ever.
Correct.
Remember that was
Amen.
The best thing going, and now it's like, you know, what was the old thing? Well, if I'm cooking, I want to do the shopping too. It's like, no, that's not how it should work. You know, so I know it's more difficult when you have one guy holding both roles, but I don't think they could go forward at this point.
When we covered Brad here, and he didn't have the GM title, but he did have the final say on the 53-man roster, Chip, mm-hmm. that's the first time I realized exactly how much that was to bite off. And also, the other thing that's so important, and the reason why I agree with you, and it should not happen ever where you get the dual role now, is you can't be the player's boss and their coach.
No.
They are not going to, if you are the GM, and you are the guy who cuts their friends and who slashes their salaries, they are not going to give you an ounce of work that they don't want to. There's no way to rally them to you.
No, I mean, there has to be a separation of church and state, right? I mean, because for one, a coach is always going to do whatever it takes to win now because they're trying to save his job, right? You know, I mean, that's just now if the GM, you know, he's probably not going to fire himself, but they, you know, they're charged with trying to win now, whereas the GM has to look at both. I mean,
right.
You have to think about the future. Obviously, you're trying to win now, but you also have to look at, salary cap situation for 3 years down the line, where a coach is not thinking about that, right? He's thinking about this week, and you're right. Think about, like, particularly in NFL, how often they make players take pay cuts,
mm-hmm.
you know, or in a, you know, and you can't have a coach doing that and think that you're going to be able to get the best out of those players. You're absolutely 100% correct on that.
So with the realization that the Texans didn't exactly give their all in that game, what do you take away from the Vikings' first win?
Well, and the scary thing, it came down to the last play too, and now they still would have to, you know, get the two-pointer, but it was, you know, it wasn't like they, I don't think they got the Texans' best punch.
No.
But there were obviously the offense, you have something that works now, right? I mean, if you got to feed Dalvin and the rookie wide receiver looks just like a star, you know, he is. The thing that I didn't know about him, Judd, was he's not just a slot guy. He's not just outside. He can catch and run. He can go deep. I mean, mm-hmm. he's very versatile. And so I think that's, you know, I still have concerns about the offensive line, but you know, it makes sense now when you got Dalvin opened it up, things for him and Thielen, for Jefferson and Thielen. Defensively, man, they're just, you know, it just feels like patchwork at this point, right? I mean, it could be a long night, Sunday night in Seattle, because you're just, I think I keep saying this every week, but you're playing guys that probably shouldn't be playing, either by youth or by injury or by circumstance with Michael Pierce. And so, you know, I think they showed some improvement, but, you know, they still give up the big plays. There's a couple, you know, this week, and I think that's just something you're going to have to live with. And now we'll see how they handle Russell Wilson, but, you know, it could be a long night for that defense on Sunday.
Absolutely. The only thing, Chip Scoggins, that I honestly care about in the course of the 2020 season defensively that I deeply care about is, do Gladney and Dantzler improve?
Yes.
And if they improve, because you know what? The interior of that line is going to get blown up. My guess is, hopefully for his sake, Hunter comes back at left end in 21, right? Barr mm-hmm. comes back. But if you can get those two in particular cornerbacks stabilized and on the right track, I think that has to be mission A, B, and C for this defense this season.
Yeah, and, you know, obviously Gladney gave up the one bomb down to the 8-yard line, but I actually thought he made some really nice plays. You know, I think he did. I think there were some times where he thought, okay, you see improvement here, and that's what this is going to be. I mean, it's going to be growing pains. I mean, think about, like, for him and Dantzler, your first five games in the NFL, they're what, 1-3, that you're going to face Aaron Rodgers, Deshaun Watson, and Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
right.
That's no small task, you know. And so there's no way to circumvent what they're going to have to go through, right? They're just going to have to learn on the job, and there'll be times where they look good and some times where they get beat. And I think you sort of just have to live with it, right? I mean, what's...
Oh, absolutely. No, 100%. You're exactly right.
It's just, you know, it's not ideal, but this is their situation. And so, you know, you can throw your hands up all you want, but they're rookies going against, you know, the best quarterbacks in you know, in some cases ever with Aaron Rodgers. And so they're going to get picked on, and they're going to, you know, they're going to face really good receivers that are tough matchups. And so, but yeah, I agree with you. To me, like, on defensively, that's what you're looking at. Like, mm-hmm. how are those? And also, you have to make a determination on Ngakoue, Judd.
Right? True. Yes, you
I
do.
Because he's going to, I mean, there's a bill coming due, and you have to decide. I assume he'll want to stay here, but, I mean, there's no, what's his market going to be, you know? I mean, he's going to want a big
Here's deal. My question off that question, and we do not know the answer to this, and right or wrong, we've been misled the entire time. Danielle Hunter's neck. Like, are we talking about a... Like, we're, again, to go back to our original conversation on this, Chip, you know, there's never been a, oh, it's just a neck problem. If you can't play for an extended period of time, it puts your career at least in question and jeopardy. And so in making the decision on Ngakoue, I also have to ask, is Hunter back opening day of 21? Is this a work in progress? Is there a surgical procedure that's going to be required? And so I guess how I'm weighing him comes back to that question about what they know internally about Hunter's future, which I hope is fine, but I think it's foolish to assume it's fine.
Yeah, well, I'm at the point where I'll be surprised if he plays this year.
Agreed.
Now, is it beyond that? I don't know that this is a career-ending thing or anything like that, or career-threatening even, but 2020, I think, is probably... you know, if you look at the reports and weigh in, you know, surgery versus not surgery, and just look at where the team is at. I mean, if you're 2-7, you're not bringing him back. You know, I mean, it doesn't make sense. And so, but I don't. Yeah, clearly they're not going to be transparent with us about how serious it is. But I don't know. Yeah, obviously, if it was lingers into next year, you'd have to bring Ngakoue back. But I think it's more a salary cap thing, right? I mean, how much is he going to command? You know,
oh, that's a good deal.
I assume he's, you know, and then, you know, Daniil's not exactly the highest paid defense end in the, you know, NFL either. You're going to have to address his situation at some point.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if he misses the entire year, maybe you don't. But, you know, there's already talk about he was, based on last year, that he was underpaid for his contract. So, yeah, some interesting decisions on what they're, how they're going to handle that one.
Jefferson's play so far to me, Chip, has been outstanding. And I would also, I would make the case that among immediate impact positions in all of sports, if you are a receiver and you are just damn good, that you can influence and impact games pretty much from day one. I mean, at cornerback, it's going to take time. Like, there is no way that I would say, Jeff Gladney might be a bust. No, this is going to take a year or so, or perhaps more, and he could turn into a Pro Bowl player, and he could be outstanding for, you know, 5 years, 6 years. Mm-hmm. But I think if we go through all of sports and positions that guys can step in on day one, and you say to yourself, oh, wow, receiver is definitely one, and everything that Jefferson has done in the past two games to me has been, oh, wow, this guy is going to be damn good unless he gets hurt at some point.
And think about this, Judd. Does this not remind you, remember Percy's rookie year where we watched training camp and you just said, he's different. Like, this guy's good. Like, he's going to be really good this year. Like, he's going to help. He's just that athletically gifted. You sort of felt like that watching, and I wasn't out training camp a lot, but the day I was out there and just hearing reports about Jefferson, he just looks different, right? I mean, he's smooth route runner, athletic, all the tangibles. And so, yeah, there is a learning curve, but you also know if a guy's just that physically gifted and that smooth, he's probably going to make a significant impact, right? Mm-hmm. Now, I didn't know that he would be, you know, have the most 20-yard receptions in the NFL already. I mean, he's already at 8. Mm-hmm. And I think he's second in yards per catch at 21 behind Metcalf from Seattle. But, yeah, I mean, all the buzz you heard about him in training camp, it's training camp, but you just felt like, all right, this guy is going to, once they get him comfortable or in, you know, whatever happened the first 2 weeks, I have no idea. But
malpractice is what happened, I think, Chip. I think it's very simple. Malpractice between Coobs and probably to a certain point, Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, but do you think there was like, it's just so weird because it was dramatic, like from basically a bystander doing nothing to, holy cow, he has 175 yards or whatever, and then last, like, throwing the ball. I mean,
I know.
If somebody went,
well, how about
says,
Kirk's
hey.
Quote? How about Kirk's quote post-game after the Texans game about, yeah, this guy can play. No kidding, Sherlock. Yeah, I figured that out myself, too. And by the way, the whole thing, like, in week one about where's Thielen? Where's my guy?
Yeah.
Adam Thielen is a very solid, good player, right?
Mm-hmm.
But
yep.
He is now also going on his second receiving teammate, Diggs first, and now Jefferson, who absolutely, positively elevates his game, too, because now you can't, if you are the Seahawks or the Falcons in the game after that, you can't sit there and be like, okay, if we stop 19, we stop the Vikings. Because now Jefferson is the threat, so guess what? Thielen's now open. But that Cousins quote sort of drove me crazy in the sense of, this isn't your place to say, I'm the veteran, this kid can play. You should say, I get down on my knees at night and thank God we drafted him, because he's that good, in my opinion.
Well, and think about that, Judd, that he was... That quote came about because of that back shoulder throw. And just think about the two components of that. So it's 3rd and 6. You're up 7 in the fourth quarter, early fourth quarter. So kind of a defining moment in that game, right? Not only does he go to his rookie, he throws a back shoulder throw, which they never practiced. So, I mean, just think about that. It's like they never practiced that throw. And, oh, by the way, in that critical situation game, I'm going to my rookie. I mean, it speaks volumes about, you know, the trust or whatever, just the belief he has in Jefferson to make a play there, to put the ball there, and he just made it look routine. And that's the other thing, Judd. Think about how many of his catches have been contested. Where
this is the key thing.
A guy's draped all over him.
Yes.
I think that's something that's some guys just have and some guys don't have, right?
Yes.
I mean, the ability, like when a guy's – there's another play earlier in the game where he – broke in, and then it was a double move, and then broke out, and the guy pulls on his jersey. You can see it on the replay. The guy's yanking from behind his jersey, and he still gets separation. It's like that to me is like a pretty special quality for a receiver. So, you know? And I think he has it.
Explain this then. How on the last offensive play in week three against the Titans, where the ball goes to, on basically what amounts to a Hail Mary pass to Thielen, mm-hmm. right? How does that ball not go to Jefferson? Like, that he's customized, he's built to make that play. You know yeah. what I mean? So that's the thing, is it's a little bit mysterious to me, because it's not like Diggs is still here and, oh, they got this third guy named Jefferson and he might be good too. No, this guy's got a skill set that's extremely special. And so that pass, to me, if you are going to make what amounts to a desperation pass, there's yeah. one guy on this team right now who gets that ball. It's Jefferson.
I don't have, you know, Thielen has shown he's made some pretty, you know, I don't know if miraculous, but just really difficult catches to make two in traffic. So I don't have as much problem with that as you do, but I do think, how many times was he targeted Sunday, Jefferson? It wasn't, I mean, he made four catches, but how many times was he actually targeted? I mean, I think he needs to be targeted like 7, 8, 9, 10 times a game, you know?
I'm with you.
And same thing with Thielen. And, you know, the one guy that I thought would make a big leap this year that's getting left behind is Irv Smith. He's had just a, you know, terrible start to the season.
I don't understand that
with
one.
With penalties. I thought he'd make a big jump this year. It hasn't happened, obviously, but yes. I'm fine with really just trying to force feed those two guys, you know.
Jefferson, let's see here. I've got the game book called up. Jefferson had 5 targets, 4 catches.
Yeah, you almost need to times 2 that.
And don't you? Thielen was 10 targets, 8 catches for 114 and the touchdown.
But I will say this. How many touches did Dalvin get? He had a lot. He had like 29 touches.
27 rushing attempts and 2 catches. Yes, sir.
So that's a big number for him. So, you know, if you're able to run the ball and get Dalvin, I don't think he's going to get 29, 30 touches every game. Do you?
I'm going to give you a statement that I believe to be true, but not advisable. So it's a hot take, but I'm not going to tell you that I would do it. Okay. Mm-hmm. I think if you are the 2020 Vikings, and it's very clear that at this point in time, if you are going to win games, it's going to be outscoring teams. Your defense just yeah. can't stop teams, which is, I mean, it just can't. It's not like yeah. a debatable thing.
Yes, 100%.
I think to win games, to put together the right formula, which is Dalvin, Jefferson, Thielen, probably a little bit more from the tight ends too, because in the first 4 games or so, they've been darn near non-existent. I think Dalvin needs to average, and keep in mind, I'm not backing this up by saying it's smart, okay? I think Dalvin in 2020 needs to average approximately 25 to 30 touches per game. Mm-hmm. But let me back up from that by saying that's to win games. It's not advisable, because I would say I would give him those carries next year, but I do think that the next 2 years are going to tax him a lot.
Yeah.
But this is the interesting thing about what I just said, is this is the conversation, the nuanced conversation about that word tanking. Nobody yeah. tanks. Like, nobody says, well, the Texans might have on Sunday, but nobody yeah. says we want to lose games. But decisions do either help you win games in years where you might not be that good, or mm-hmm. or you lose games, but you save something. So I think Dalvin needs to touch the ball approximately 30 times per game to assure yourself wins consistently. That being said, that's probably not the advisable way.
Yeah, it's interesting. You have a great point, because do you want to drive the wheels off the car in a lost season? And we've seen it when running backs get overworked. You know, are they going to be the same guys 3 years from now, if you have a high carry total, and you know, let's say this team wins whatever 5 games, you know, 6 games, and he has a huge number of carries, will that affect next year? And it, you know, a lot of it's on him. He talked about it yesterday. I was on a Zoom the other day, where wear and tear, and that's how he felt. You know, he said Monday, you know, you wake up, you're like, whoa, you know, that's what happened after having 29 touches. And so it'll be interesting to see, you know, but Dalvin's a competitor, Judd. I mean, you paid him this money, you're going to have to use him, right?
Absolutely, yes.
and the blueprint is not going to change. I mean, they're not. This is how they're going to win. And I think you just and Zimmer and them are not going to look at this and say, you know what, let's think about 2 years from now. Let's ease up on his workload at least right now. Now, if you get to week 12 and 13, and it's the season's a lost cause, maybe they tweak their philosophy there and spread it around more with Madison. But I think they're still in that, hey, we got to win and salvage the season mode.
And on Cook, I do think that I'm fine with basically using him up over the next 2 years because I think it's going to end quickly. So if you use him, a lot this year, and especially because I think that you can be competitive next year, not great, but competitive, that's fine too. Because these guys at that spot, running backs have expiration dates. I mean, they just do. And look, Adrian can play as long as he wants, but the greatness that we once saw now is long gone. Mm-hmm. So I am all for basically saying Dalvin Cook is going to touch the ball a ton this year and next. But I just come back to it's also a decision because I think the only formula that's going to probably get you some wins that ultimately people will regret this year for the Vikings is the formula of Jefferson, Cook, Thielen, and we basically try and score, pick a number, 35 points.
Yeah, you got to get
seriously.
It's got to be plus 30, I 100% agree that that's what I'm saying is like these guys only have so many carries in them. But I don't know how you tell Dalvin that, I mean, he is such a competitor. And same thing with Zimmer. Hey, we're going to try to preserve you for next year or 2 years from now.
But I mean, I'm talking to win games. I'm talking a record amount of touches. Like I think he needs the ball that much.
Well,
which is probably not again real smart.
Yeah, and the only way that they don't is this team is built to play with a lead, And if they're at least the offense, the defense. That's the problem. Is like we saw in the first couple games, if they fall behind early, you're just passing it. Cousins is going to throw it 50 times, so that will reduce Cook's workload there. So I don't doubt that there's going to be a few of those games, Judd, where they're just trying to play catch up by throwing the ball the whole game.
Uh-huh.
And so I think that kind of organically will take some of his carries away. There's just some teams that are going to be overmatched again. Their offense or their defense against the offense, and this week might be one of them, And so, but
yes.
Yeah, their blueprint's right is I think it's pretty obvious. Dalvin about 28 to 30 carries, and then a lot of catches for Thielen and Jefferson. And so, but they're gonna have to score 30. I wrote this last week. It's like Zimmer's his dream is 13 to 10 games, right?
13 oh yeah, wins. Oh yeah, it's a couple a safety mixed
happening.
In too. 11.
Yeah. That ain't happening.
11-9.
And, John, look at the our friend Seifert had another thing this week that scoring's up, dramatically.
Yep.
25 points a game on average per team. And the theory is, we talked about it a couple weeks ago, they're just not calling holding penalties. And so teams aren't in those. I mean, think about how many drives get doomed because of a holding penalty, whether it's first and 20, you just can't overcome it. Well, if you're calling 50% less holding penalties, those drives are going to turn into points, and so it's having a huge impact. And also, he found out there's a lot more defensive pass interference penalties too, so it's kind of a double whammy.
God bless them for not calling holding. I am so happy that we are no longer having holding being a point of emphasis, because I got so tired of seeing every big play called back because some left guard grabbed a guy at the last second.
And it had no bearing on the play.
Yes, exactly right. Hey, what's your theory about the tight ends? Where are they?
I don't know, because that was a Kubiak thing, right?
Yes.
I don't know. The Rudolph one doesn't surprise me. I figured as he gets older, he's going to be more of a red zone guy, get the occasional touchdown. The Irv Smith one, really, I'm not sure what's going on there. I thought he showed flashes last year to where you felt like, okay, he's going to have a pretty integral part of the offense this year, and it's just not happened at all. So I don't know.
But like, is he doing something wrong? Is he doing something wrong? Has he?
Well, he had some penalties early that probably didn't. You know, but that isn't. I don't think they're icing him out because of that. So I don't know. I honestly don't know. I just probably do more digging on it. But
I don't get it.
Do you have a theory? I don't really know what.
No, zero.
What the explanation
don't know.
Is. Because didn't you think Smith would take a big jump this year?
I thought he'd be a Pro Bowl player, Chip. Yes, I thought he'd be great. I am completely confused as to why a guy who should be an outlet for short passes and sort of borders on that tight end receiver tag, right? Like he's
sure. Yeah.
He can make moves. He's got some speed. I don't get it. That one has me confused. But just across the board for the Vikings, the tight end catches and targets are just not there. And so, yeah, it's the most mysterious thing to me. Because I thought that Irv Smith and the tight ends would prove to be an outlet of sort for Cousins when the pressure came and things like that. And through, what, four games now, they've been a non-factor.
Yeah,
Kyle had that nice catch, but that was almost a desperation heave by Kirk. But just as far as being in the game plan, it's sort of like they're not, which, to circle back to your point, is really weird because we all thought, well, that's part of Gary's thing.
Yeah, and I don't know how many targets that Irv Smith has, but it can't be more than a handful, you know, and he's had some really bad penalties. And so I don't know if it's just a trust thing or if it's, you know, they're just going elsewhere with it. But you seem like that would be Cousins' best friend when protection breaks down. That he'd be able to dump it off, you know.
Yes.
Short passes those guys, and you know, maybe it'll come eventually because you would think that it would because I just think Irv Smith athletically, like you mentioned, that kind of that hybrid in between your traditional tight end and a wide receiver that with his speed and athleticism that he would offer a definite component to this offense, but it's not happening. So I don't know what maybe we should ask, you know. Maybe that'd be a good question for Kubiak at some point. Like, well, what's going on here? You know, why are these guys catching any balls?
Chip Scoggins' prediction for Sunday's game, and more importantly than a winner, because I'm guessing I know who that's going to be, give me a final score between two defenses that can't stop a soul and have pretty good offenses.
Yeah, obviously I'm going to pick Seattle. I was on the Vikings conference call today, and one of the coaches said he thinks it's going to be cold and rainy out there.
Okay.
Maybe that keeps it down a little, but I think Seattle's going to be in the 30s. I can see the Vikings being in the high 20s. 30. I just think this is how most of their games are going to go, Judd.
Zimmer has to hate this, right?
Oh, I'm sure.
Every second of this, he just has to hate.
Crazy. Well, it's like, you know, you think they're playing well, and then all of a sudden, you know, Deshaun Watson finds Fuller for a 45-yard pass, and it's like they're down at the 8. Now, they did hold him to the field goal there, so that was promising, but it's like honestly, with these young – with the guys that they have in there, Judd, and the young rookies, aren't you just kind of always waiting for that big play to happen? Because you know it's coming. It's like they're going to have this at some point in the game, one, two, three, however many times, where there's going to be a bust or the guy just gets beat or whatever. You're just kind of anticipating the other team having a big play. So I think if the weather's not just horrendous, which I didn't check it. Like I said, one of the coaches said that. But if it's not horrendous, I think it's going to be a shootout. I think it'll be, you know, I think Seattle will win. You know, the one thing I'm curious of, Judd, is, you know, you're eliminating the home field advantage with the noise. So that shouldn't have, you know, that should help some. I'm not saying they're going to win, but the offense should be able to function a lot easier than it has in the past when they've gone out there and they just had nightmare times trying to deal with the noise. So that shouldn't be an issue. So, but I could see Seattle winning comfortably.
The Texans didn't care and they almost won. So
well,
yeah,
that's the thing. I think you're probably they didn't care until late when they made a couple of big plays and they're like, hey, we can win this game, you know?
Yeah, because it's the Vikings defense, which is sad. All right, sir. Thank you, Chip Scoggins. Talk to you next week, okay?
All right, brother. We'll see you.
All right, talk to you later. Bye. Chip Scoggins, Zolgad, Conduits of Trouble.